Hello, everyone, and welcome to our American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up podcast. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me, as always, is Lita. How you doing, Lita?
I'm good. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Is it party time for you?
Is it St. Patrick's Day, really?
Yeah, today is St. Patrick's Day.
Going to a big party tonight. Totally.
Yeah, with Brian Arnold and Jake Murray and Barclay Stockett.
Yeah, of course. It's time for a party.
It always is with those guys. I'm glad that you're celebrating your very favorite holiday, I'm sure.
Yes, very, very. You can see all the green I'm wearing, celebrating my Irish roots.
Do you have those?
Probably.
Okay, great.
We are here to talk about the next episode 3 of Ninja versus Ninja. And we've got some interesting teams here competing. We've got I wouldn't call them new, but they're different obstacles for this particular episode. The tilting ladders and the flying monkey bars. We've got 4 teams here. The Brazzy Bros, Party Time, the All-American Ninjas, and Karsten's Fast Cats.
This is the worst series of names we've had, I think, pound for pound.
I would agree.
I have to deduct, like, as an average, I have to deduct for the Brazzy Bros being easily the worst team name ever, because it's just, like, patently inaccurate for one of their members.
Right. It's the Brazzy Bros and another person.
Right. Yeah. It's one thing to be like, you know, like Karsten's Fast Cats. It's like, yeah, he's got his name in it, but it's like a band. It's like Karsten and the Fast Cats. But Brazzy Bros is just like, no, it's just us. And also we had to have a woman.
Yeah, pretty much.
It could have been like even like Team Brazzy. Like, that's not like accurate for this other girl, but at least it's not like gendered.
Well, but Team Brazzy at least could like bras.
They're Brazzy. Because women wear those?
Yeah.
Okay, get no. It? No, that would be worse. You're right. I stand corrected. It could have been worse.
All right. Well, the Brazzy Bros are going to take on Party Time in the first matchup. And we see Brian Arnold go against Alexio Gomez. And Brian Arnold wants to keep these young guys in check.
Yeah. And it ends up ending very horribly for him. So this is kind of like a inappropriate package for that. But this is like some very, I feel like tonight we have some really mismatched teams in that like Party Time is so heads and shoulders above everybody else that I didn't really feel like any of this was fair. Like, I felt like this was a foregone conclusion from the very beginning, especially because it's not like the Brazzy Bros, like Alexio didn't even go to Vegas this year. I don't think. I think just Lucas did. And he went out on stage 1. So it's not even like these are 2 like powerhouses and then they gave them this girl who's like still a little bit green.
Well, to be fair, I think Karsten's team was supposed to do better.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think you might have the wrong mic selected. I just realized. What were we talking about?
We are rolling. We were talking about the Brazzy Bros.
All right. We just had to briefly pause so we could fix Lita's microphone because she's bad at microphones.
Why would you throw me under the bus?
Because there's going to be a noticeable difference in sound quality and they're going to be like, whoa, what happened there?
You could just be like, blame the technology. You don't have to blame me. Maybe no one would have noticed.
Well, honestly, I think people probably would have just assumed that it was a technology issue and not realized that it was your fault, because normally, right, I just blame you for things regardless of whether or not they're your fault. But then you pointing out that I was blaming you when it was actually your fault has now outed you.
This is 4D chess here.
Yes.
I wasn't prepared.
Truly. Well, Alexio is also playing 4D chess in his intro because he's doing some kind of chicken dance. I'm not sure what he's doing here.
Oh, like when he's on the platform? Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind it. It's different. It's not a dab.
I mind it. It was weird.
Okay. Why do you mind it? Just because you're...
I don't understand cool dance moves. What is happening here. I, this doesn't seem like a dance move to me. This seems like, okay, I'm a chicken, guys. It's like Job from Arrested Development. Like what? Like what are you doing here?
Maybe it's like his spirit animal.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't talk about it in his package. What did he talk about in his package? I feel like I have
honestly
nothing.
Don't remember.
Oh, Brazil. Brazil is nice. That was their package.
Oh yeah.
They're like, we miss
we
it.
Represent
our parents,
Brazil.
Yeah, our parents worked hard and are immigrants.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's notable that I wrote Alexio's doing some kind of chicken dance, and that was about it.
Yeah, I think that Alexio is doing a good job in slowly closing the hotness gap between him and Lucas. He's not there yet, but I feel like every year it gets more even.
Oh, my. Well, they are neck and neck all the way up to the tilting ladders. But Alexio makes an early dismount that we're going to see a few different times over the course of the episode, which pulls him ahead of Brian. Brian ultimately catches up at the warped wall, and they have they have to go to a replay to see who wins this match, because Alexio, he reaches for the buzzer, but it looks like he misses. Brian gets the buzzer, and it's like, well, oh, my God, who got here first? Who won? I thought Brian had this.
Yeah, I feel like if you don't hit the buzzer, it doesn't count. And if you hit the buzzer, the smoke and the lights and stuff happen. Like, you can't just touch it.
Well, in the replay, it hit the buzzer, the little edge of his hand.
But if you don't press down on it and the smoke doesn't come out, then it doesn't count. That's the last obstacle.
Well, it did press down, just maybe not quite enough. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I think that you should have to do it enough. The buzzer is the underrated ninja killer of these last couple episodes. It's a
true.
Big part of it.
Well, despite your protests, Alexio does win this matchup. And he says, Brian is a legend. I was just happy to race against him. And this is funny because Alexio says this about Brian. And then Brian is later going to say this about Paul Hamm.
Yeah, it's like a nice chain of ninjas admiring other ninjas. This was nice. I liked him being like, he's the real winner because he's a legend. But he was also like, when I came to American Ninja Warrior, Brian Arnold was the only person that I knew. And it's like, stop casting casuals, American Ninja Warrior.
Clearly. Next up was Barclay Stockett versus Brittany Reed. And Barclay, her whole segment was about her family. Grew up with 5 siblings. She's got an awesome family. That it was really like, I've got an awesome family. Here are my siblings. Here are my parents. I've got an awesome family. Next up.
They're supportive. Her dad cries when he watches her on TV.
Yeah. She's got an awesome family. That's.
Yeah.
That was what the package was about.
Did you love Brittany's package?
Brittany's package was, I was born in Germany. Therefore, I went to Oktoberfest. Look at all these pictures of me alone at Oktoberfest. Where are her friends?
It looked like she was like a waitress there.
Yeah.
She was like, I worked on my grip strength by carrying 6 beers at once.
Yeah. I mean, good for her, I guess. This is a very, very strange package for Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, I feel like this is very like, we didn't really have much else to say about Brittany Reed. Also, I feel like it's funny that they probably like recreated this scene, right? Like, I don't think there are American Ninja Warrior camera people following her around Oktoberfest. So it's just very funny to think of her in this outfit in like some random place in America.
Was it like professionally? I remember it being like social media-fied, but I don't remember.
It seemed a little, I don't know. It seemed professionally filmed. I didn't notice that, but I also don't notice things like cameras.
I like to imagine, you know, they're looking at Brittany Reed. They're like, all right, so what can we have your package be about? And I feel like it was probably, they were just like scrolling through her social media and they were like, oh, here's some hot pics of her at Oktoberfest. we've got nothing else. Let's just do that.
What are her packages usually about? Doesn't she have like a brother or something?
Honestly, this was so different than everything else. I don't remember who she is. Is she the motorcycler? I can't remember.
I don't think so. I think she has a brother that competed also one time.
Well. Oh, well.
Now she's Oktoberfest girl, and she always will be until we inevitably forget about her the next time she comes up.
Yes, there's a 9-inch difference between these two women, but Barclay is speedy, very, very fast, but they both have some trouble on the tilting ladders here.
Yeah, is this the one that Brittany uses her legs on?
Yes, Brittany is using her legs, and Barclay is with, you know, a small wingspan trying to get across those big gaps by swinging.
Yeah, and Akbar is really hard on Brittany for this being a bad strategy to get through the whatever you call them, the tilting ladders, which is true. But also, I feel like Brittany maybe knows that she doesn't necessarily have the strength for this. So she would rather go slowly through it with her legs and make sure she gets through it in case Barkley falls, than know that she's going to go down halfway through.
Yes, for sure. I agree with that strategy. It's all, getting through it is better than falling, for sure. Right. So Brittany ends up going down at the floating tiles slash steps, mm-hmm. whichever they are.
Yeah, she takes forever to like examine them and like prepare herself, which is never really a good sign.
Yeah,
it's not like really thinking about the floating tiles is ever going to help you get through them.
Yep. So Barclay takes this one. It is 1-1, and Jake Murray is now going to take on Lucas Gomez. And hey, Lita, you know Jake Murray is going to do something crazy.
Do you remember when he had the corn dog?
Yeah, and that one time with the thing. I don't remember what they're called.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The like you're standing on it and there's wheels under you.
A scooter, a Vespa.
No, the thing that Job from Arrested Development rides all the time. Who knew? Segway. Who knew Job would be such a relevant reference twice in a row? The Segway, that one time he was on the Segway.
I literally don't remember that. So I only remember him jumping off the thing and the corn dog.
Well, he's gonna do something crazy.
He's wild.
Yeah, he's wild and crazy. Oh, that Jake Murray. That's how America sees him, or that's how the American Ninja Warriors producers see him. And then Lucas Gomez, I did not understand.
Me
this.
Either.
He was like talking about like these performances where they just like constantly like up and down, like just what do you just like,
why are you bouncing?
Because they're just bouncing the whole time. They're just the entire thing, every single time they're in the footage, they're bouncing, they're having a good time, they're doing something or other, they're talking, they're bouncing, they're singing, and it's somehow related to church, and I really don't understand what this is.
Because there are DJs there, and that's how people dance when there's a sick beat.
Let me just, I have never gone to a church that has been like that before.
All right. So I've never gone to a church, period. So I don't know if I'm the person to comment on this, but I think what I understood is that he's a worship leader and it's like a concert series that takes place like in his church that I assume has some sort of Christian stuff.
But he made it seem like they do it every week. Like this is
yeah,
their
concert series.
Well, a concert series surely has an end at some point. Like,
no, it's a really long series.
You know, maybe Lucas can come on the podcast and explain this to us.
I followed him on Twitter for like a hot sec and his first tweet was like, I love being married. And I was like, all right, unfollow. Not because I have anything against young married people, but because Lucas is easy on the eyes.
Oh yeah. And the only reason you were following him is because marriage isn't fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, that's my take on Lucas.
Okay, well, they go and Jake does the early dismount on the ladders here, and really just he takes off. Like, there's no catching Jake Murray. Lucas doesn't really stand a chance.
Yeah, but Jake Murray has a Brazzy Bros shirt underneath his shirt, yeah. And they share a sweet hug on
yes.
top of the wall.
Jake, he gets to the top, he wins, and then he pulls off his party time shirt to reveal a Brazzy Bros shirt. And he makes sure to explain in the interview, like, I was going to do that anyway. That wasn't like a bragging thing. Cause I totally thought that was like, I beat you and I wear your shirt. I'm like, it's like cutting off someone's head and putting it on a pike. It's like,
That's what that's like.
Yes.
Did you really think it was a bragging thing? Because that like literally didn't occur to me. And then he was so defensive about it to Christine, where he was like, no, it's not a bad sportsmanship thing. I just love them. Okay. I just love the Brazzy Bros.
It was my first thought. Yeah.
I mean, I would assume that it's not a bragging thing because you got to think that Jake Murray knew that he was going to win that, you know? So like, I think he thought about the optics of it, but I guess not because he had to really defend it to Christine.
Maybe she asked him if it was, and that was cut from the interview.
She does ask great questions.
Yes. So now it is 2-1 in favor of Party Time, and they go to the relay, and we continue the trend of the women starting off the relay. Maybe this is just, they're supposed to do that. Maybe that is in the rules that we don't know, but because it's happened every single time so far.
Yeah, although this one, like, neither Barclay or Brittany were very good on the tilting ladder, yeah, so yeah. It makes sense.
It does make sense. It's just like, this is the third time in a row that we've never seen, third episode in a row that we've never seen the women do anything other than the beginning of the relay. And then we had Murray versus Alexio next, and Brian and Lucas finish it off. Akbar says, party time has a lot more experience. I've RSVP'd the win for them.
Okay, yeah, because it's a party.
Because it's a party, yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, I got it.
Yeah.
Great. I feel like that, I don't know how fun of a party that would be with Jake Murray, Brian Arnold, and Barclay. I feel like Barclay would be fun at a party, but Brian Arnold has kids, which tend to not make for fun partygoers, and I feel like Jake Murray is a little much for me at a party.
Maybe. Barclay ends up giving party time a big lead, and then Alexio goes down trying to do the early dismount on the tilting ladder, which only gives a 5-second penalty to the Brazzy Bros. Again, this is like a difficult thing to try and figure out, like, what should happen in a relay when somebody falls, because theoretically, you know, Alexio would have been further than 5 seconds behind,
right,
you know, if he hadn't gone for that early dismount that he wasn't able to make, then it would have probably taken him more than 5 seconds to get through there. And he would have been probably closer to 10 seconds behind. So if anything, like, it might make sense if you're far enough behind to just jump in the water.
I was going to say, yeah, he should have just, like, obviously it takes more than 5 seconds to do any obstacle. So you should, if you're behind, you should just jump in the water.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically.
I mean, the good thing, though, is that, like, obviously these people are very disappointed when they fall and they're incentivized enough by, like, their legacy or whatever to do this, especially because, like, some of these people don't even get invited to American Ninja Warrior. Like, there are people on Ninja versus Ninja that are still doing walk online, so, like, they want to prove themselves so that they get invited on the actual show. I like the 5-second penalty because this is about good TV, and, like, it's not fun to watch someone stand there for 10 seconds and you already know who's going to win because 10 seconds is too long.
Yeah, it really is a thing where, like, there's no way around it in the relay. If somebody falls, it's just, maybe they should be forced to, like, climb out and continue. Maybe that would be a better way. That'd be fun.
They get hoisted back onto the part of the obstacle that they fell on.
No, just like, if you fall in the water, you have to, like, swim across and climb up, and then you're soaked for the rest of it.
What if you can't swim? There are people who can't swim.
So how do they get out of it in the first place?
We've seen this happen. Remember that guy who almost drowned a couple years ago?
Well, look, that's part of, in Sasuke, there's a swimming portion in stage two.
Well, there's not an American Ninja Warrior.
There clearly is an American Ninja Warrior because you fall into water when you fail.
I'm just saying, do you remember that guy who almost drowned? And then the next year his package was like, I'm that guy who almost drowned.
Yeah, I remember the one guy. The one time it happened.
Well, I just
he
don't
would be
want
bad
to
at that part of the obstacle course.
I don't want to discriminate against people who can't swim.
Let's also not discriminate against people who can't climb walls.
Okay, no, but that's inherently a skill water, that you need. Also,
water is part of every single course. You fall into water all the time.
Yeah, but I think that a lot of people don't grow up with access to learning how to swim because it's a skill that you have to be taught. So, like, I know a lot of people who grew up in, like, farmland in Michigan who just never learned how to swim.
Yeah, and there are tons of people who never learn how to do cliffhangers also. Like,
okay, but this
is all about specialized athletics. These people have trained. If you can't take the time in your Ninja Warrior training to learn how to swim, then I'm sorry for you.
It's a different thing, okay? Climbing is, like, somewhat intuitive, and, like, you won't die if you don't do it.
Somebody who hasn't trained for a cliffhanger or is not a trained rock climber will last about 2 seconds on a cliffhanger and never ever complete it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, you can teach yourself grip strength and stuff like that. And then, like, I know that you can go to a ninja gym, but even some people don't have access to that. So I feel like adding an additional skill on top of that is, it's just increasing the ninja gap here.
There should be a ninja gap. There should be as many skills as possible that you need to learn for this thing.
No, it should be as accessible as possible. There should be skills for all varieties. There should be a jigsaw puzzle at the end for those people, or at the beginning. I feel like there should be a bicycle portion. No, I'm kidding.
All right.
There
well,
should be none of this.
So Alexio goes down. There's a 5-second penalty. Lucas cannot catch up. Party Time wins this matchup, and the Brazzy Bros are out.
R.I.P. That was good that they got that one point that they didn't deserve.
Yeah. Theoretically, he deserved it, though.
Okay, theoretically. I mean, I'm not, like, mad. I'm just confused.
Okay. You're just disappointed.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed in the Ninja Producers for not taking the buzzer portion, for not taking the buzzer obstacle seriously enough.
All right. Well, the next matchup was the All-American Ninjas versus Karsten's Fast Cats. The All-American Ninjas are made up of U.S. Olympic team medalists. I think they've all medaled, right?
I assume so, but what I've learned about watching the Olympics this year is that, like, I don't actually know who does well and who doesn't. I just know the people who are, like, famous.
Yeah, what I've learned from not watching the Olympics but watching the documentary Icarus is that people cheat.
Oh, was that about doping?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that won the Oscar.
Yep.
For one of those nobody categories. Oh, okay, great.
They won the Oscar, and then it was there. It's, like, right there on Netflix. Like, wow, they did their job.
Yeah. Also, until Jonathan Horton was on American Ninja Warrior last year, I would have not been able to name any male Olympic gymnast in history. And now I can name two.
There you go.
Well, I like that it's one of the sports where the women in it tend to be much more famous than the men.
Yeah. Well, I did know about Paul Hamm, but I'm pretty sure that's because I knew him from Sasuke, which they did not mention.
Oh, yeah, they didn't mention that. Huh. Did he do well on Sasuke?
He did all right. I think he made it to stage two twice.
That's good.
And there's a little bit of controversy, actually, because, like, he messed up the finish of stage two, and I think he got disqualified. Both him and his brother competed in Sasuke. And they really just, like, either didn't know that or, like, eliminated it from history, though. His first attempt at, his first try at a warped wall ever. His first ever appearance on a salmon ladder. Like,
Yeah, and they're talking about, like, his lack of ninja, like, he's got the strength, but lack of ninja experience.
Yeah. I mean, it was a long time ago, but still. First up, we had Paul Hamm versus Kevin Klein. And Paul has 3 Olympic medals, and he's a very, very famous gymnast.
Apparently the best male Olympic gymnast, American male Olympic gymnast in history.
Probably.
And I will just have to take their word for it.
Yes. And Kevin is the captain of the Dallas Cowboys flag team,
which is basically the same thing.
Probably.
As meddling at the Olympics. We have also seen this package so many times.
Have we?
From Kevin. Yeah. He's the flag runner. I always forget who he is. I'm like, I recognize that name, but I don't know who he is. So I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the flag guy.
I didn't even know what a flag team was, and I still don't. So Kevin is way ahead on the early stages and continues to just pull ahead and ends up winning against Paul. Paul didn't really stand much of a chance here. And then he does some, like, dumb dance at the top of the wall. And then,
Cause he's a performer on the flag team.
Yeah. And then, they make him do the dumb dance again in the interview, which I was just like, why, why are we doing this?
Is it better or worse than acting like a chicken?
It was worse.
Okay.
Because
I'll take that.
He did it twice.
Okay. I don't like the, like, when they're on the course, Akbar and Matt making a big deal out of, like, he's going to take down an Olympic medalist, as if, like, the Olympians are the odds on favorite. Like, it's a completely different sport.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's a little bit like if Paul Hamm played the, like, the video game version of the Olympics and lost to a video game player. It's like, oh, he beat the actual Olympian in the video game of the Olympics. Like,
yeah, it's like there's a vaguely similar connection, but it's not the same.
It's a different thing. And the video game player is the experienced one. Like, these ninjas, like, they're the practiced people here. They just like to, like, it gives them an air of like, oh, look how difficult we are. Like, the Olympians get beat by our amazing ninjas.
It's always, I feel like this is always trying to validate itself as a sport, and that's why they do like the IndyCar racers and stuff. That's like, look, real athletes are bad at this. Yeah. As if like IndyCar people are real athletes.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get mad at me for saying that. I'm sorry. We've made it clear we don't know anything about cars.
Well, we then get a montage. We skip over the women here. April Steiner Bennett versus Lauren Keene, and Lauren falls at the monkey bars, tying up the match.
I am so confused about how they ran out of time to show this when, like, the last matchup didn't even go to a relay, and they also basically showed the whole run anyway.
Well, I think
in like the while you were away,
I think that's why I think they wanted a reason to skip over the packages.
Oh, that's sad. She's like an Olympic pole vaulter. I feel like she's got something to say.
Yeah, but I think Lauren Keene in particular, who is like shows up for two obstacles and then never returns, really.
Rude.
They were like, well, let's just not bother. Then we had Jonathan Horton versus Karsten Williams. We got a quick recap of Jonathan's story, which we've seen about five times already. And then talking about Karsten, he's 5-0 in the last Team Ninja. Very excited. He loves Team Ninja. He loves this sport. And this is not a nice night for Karsten.
Yeah, and he doesn't love it anymore.
Yes, he's a foot taller than Jonathan, but he falls at the tilting ladders. His fingers just slip. Akbar says he was too fast for his own good.
Is that the problem?
Yeah, I think the problem was that he slipped.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was the speed.
But, you know. So it goes to a relay, and the women again started out, then Paul and Kevin, and then Jonathan and Karsten will finish it off. April gives the All-Americans a slight lead at the start, then Kevin pulls ahead of Paul Hamm, and so the Karsten Fast Cats, they've got the lead. Karsten is he's definitely faster than Jonathan on these flying monkey bars, but again, Karsten slips into the water and loses it for his team. They had the lead. All he had to do is finish the obstacles, finish the course, and the Fast Cats would win this. But he falls into the water and he is pissed.
Yeah, he's so mad. He's like slapping the pad and stuff like that. And I feel really bad for him, but it's also not an awesome look. This relay was also the first time that I noticed that they put their Twitter handles up under their name when they're like introducing them. And I would be like, do that instead of like all of my stats. Like, you don't need to know my height. Like, you don't need to know my background. Just put all of my different social media handles.
Your package would just be like a swirly view of all your social media handles. With you reading them out loud.
Yeah, I would be on the hashtag ninjas.
Oh, God. Well, due to Karsten's unfortunate failure twice in a row, the Fast Cats are out and the All-American Ninjas are going to be taking on Party Time in the final matchup. And there was never any chance that they were going to be Party Time.
I watched the super slow-mo cam for a little bit this time, and it wasn't even that slow.
Yeah. Like I said, they got to hire Gavin Free from the slow-mo guys.
Yeah. It was weird because, like you said, it's literally just the regular commercial break playing next to it.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
It's very strange. Well, they had Brian Arnold go up against Paul Hamm for the first matchup in Party Time versus All-American Ninjas, and Brian pulls ahead at the ladders. They both play it safe with the dismount. Brian kind of lets Paul catch up during this when he's resting for the salmon ladder, but there was never any chance here. Paul was not able to get through the back half of the course, and Brian Arnold takes the first match.
Yeah, Paul is really impressive here, though, because he looks gassed by the salmon ladder and then almost gets all the way through the rumbling dice.
Yeah. With more, recent experience and practice, I'm sure he could have done well.
yeah, I was impressed. Good job, Paul Hamm.
Yes, and Brian Arnold is very just excited that he got to compete next to Paul Hamm.
Yeah, legends supporting legends.
Yes. Then we had Barclay versus April. They both get to the ladders and get off the ladders at the same time, but April hesitates at the floating tiles and lets Barclay just storm ahead, and she's never going to catch up after that.
And Akbar says, Barclay does not play nicely on the playground. Okay.
He's really like, Akbar has a thing about size. I think he calls you the little firecracker. He calls the big guys the big boys, you know, and she's playing in playgrounds probably because she's small. It's very sizeist.
Let's not infantilize these women, please.
Then April tries to catch up. She does a decent job of trying to stay in the race here, but ultimately goes down at the salmon ladder. And while Barclay is on the rumbling dice, she tries to complete it, but ends up slipping off when she's resting.
It actually was really impressive that April actually passed her on the warp wall. She just missed her first attempt, but like that was some good catching up.
Yeah, I forgot about the Barclay had ended up resting before the warped wall, and April just went for it and just like slammed her whole body into the warped wall when she failed to get up there. So yeah, this was a you know a little bit back and forth, but Barclay with the experience really takes it. And then Jonathan Horton versus Jake Murray. This was no contest.
Yeah, foregone conclusion. Jake Murray really looks like his body movements are very monkey-like.
Monkey-like?
On this course. Yeah. Yeah.
He just speeds through it. He gets the early dismount on the ladders. Akbar says, he scares me every time he gets on the course. Because he's so fast.
Oh, because he might hurt himself.
Yeah, and Jake gets up the warped wall before Horton is even done with the tilting ladders. And Horton then falls on the floating tiles, manages to pull himself up. But Jake is done with the entire course before Jonathan Horton can even get up the warped wall to the back half of the course. And this is the most dominating performance I think we've seen on Ninja versus Ninja so far. Party Time sweeps. And they will be going on to the playoffs.
Yeah, no relay necessary.
No.
How are you feeling about Party Time's chances long term? Do you feel like this is a potential winning team?
I mean, they won the first Team Ninja, so they're definitely previous.
I feel like this is a different team, though.
Yeah, I
think it's still Brian Arnold.
Yeah, I think Jake Murray is actually.
It can't have been Barclay because wasn't she new like last year or the year before?
Jennifer Tavernier, Jake Murray.
Okay, so it was Jake and Brian, but they didn't have Barclay.
Yes.
Who is, you know, an upgrade from that woman that I don't remember.
Yes, Barclay, definitely a very strong addition here. So if they're capable of winning a whole Team Ninja with just Brian and Jake, not that Jennifer Tavernier is a bad choice either, but with Barclay, I think they are definitely a team to be reckoned with. But that said, I think there are a lot of other really strong teams. And while Jake did very, very well, I feel like there was just a little something about Brian Arnold where like he didn't have as much of a pep in his step this time.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have to go with Team Ronan just because like I always think that the girls are going to be the difference makers, and maybe Barclay and Megan are. I mean, I'm sure that's going to be a really good match, but I just have to think without Alyssa or Jesse Graff in the competition, like, it's going to come down to who has the strongest women. And with Flip also, like, feel like they're still my picks to win, but we'll see how it goes. There's still a lot of teams to go here.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, maybe Brian Arnold was sort of like saving his energy here. But he was very like slow and steady with this one. And I feel like I remember him from Team Ninja being like very fast, and I'm not sure I saw it here, but we'll see.
Yeah, it also wasn't super necessary here.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, that is our third episode of Ninja versus Ninja. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Very fun stuff.
It's good. Yeah. am happy to have something. I feel like this has been a really rough year of reality TV in terms of stuff being like light and fun. So it's nice to have something that is so low stakes and just easy.
Yeah. Even like a total blowout, like this episode was still light, fun, quick. Very great.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah, you know, you watch the USA versus the world. It's 3 hours long. It's disappointing. And then you get a nice bite-sized snack of Ninja versus Ninja. And it's like, ah, that's better.
Yeah. And somewhere Karsten is listening to this being like, maybe fun for you.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. Like, even a situation where somebody ended up being very disappointed and angry. It's still like a fun show overall. It didn't drag the proceedings down.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way that Karsten is going to like not do the season of American Ninja Warrior. So he'll have plenty of time to bounce back.
Yes. The Fast Cats will be back for Ninja versus Ninja 2 with a vengeance.
Yeah. Hopefully that happens.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just going to get a new name every year.
Warrior versus Warrior.
Yeah.
They really do leave out the warrior part a lot.
Yeah, well, maybe some of these people are ninjas, but they're not necessarily ninja warriors.
Well, because I feel like, you can say, like, the parkour people, they're definitely, like, ninja-like. But then I feel like there are also some people who might be able to identify more with being a warrior.
Doesn't warrior imply, you know, some sort of violence?
Well, so does ninja.
I think of ninjas as stealthy.
Yeah, stealthy and then violent.
Okay. Well, I feel like warrior, I don't know. It has the word war in it. There's a battle implication.
Ninja has the word nin in it.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you can't just make up etymology.
Knee. It has knee in it.
As in the knights who say?
Yes.
Like, what? Okay.
That's very warlike.
Because they're knights? I don't know that they fight. I don't remember. It's fine.
They're very aggressive.
Okay. I'm just saying I prefer the connotation of ninja over the connotation of warrior.
Well, it has both.
Not this show.
Well, it is American.
Well, it's
Ninja
American
Warrior.
Ninja Warrior : Ninja versus Ninja. Yeah. Yeah,
it's just three ninjas and a warrior.
Is that would be what next year all of the teams have to be comprised of?
Yes.
There's four people per team. That's to be three ninjas and one warrior.
There we go. And the one section of the course can be just very physical and like brute strength. You have to like break through walls or something.
You have to shoot a bow and arrow at a target.
That is the opposite of physical and brute force.
Warriors do that.
But so would ninjas.
No, ninjas don't shoot bows and arrows.
Of course they do. They use all sorts of ranged weapons.
They have throwing stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, they can do that. But I feel like bow and arrow and like spear, anything with spears, specifically warrior. I'll make you a chart for all of the things, all of the weapons that are ninja weapons and all of the ones that are warrior weapons.
All right. And then I'll proceed to take that chart and throw it away.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast to the American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up podcast. That's R-H-A-P up. You can also check out all of our Big Brother Canada 6 coverage that Lita is taking a part in. And you can check out the Taran Show. Got interviews with lots of different interesting people, including Lita and Rennie.
Yeah.
Martin.
Just go way back and listen to mine. You don't need to listen to any of the other ones.
Well, basically how it works is you can't skip any. So if you want to go back to Lita's, you have to listen to each one all the way down to number 10.
Yeah. All the way down.
And then in order to get back and caught up, you have to listen to them again on your way back. So it's a little bit of work.
Yeah. But I would say it's worth it.
Yeah. Thank you again for joining us. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taran. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. You can also follow her on Instagram at Lita Grammed. It's
yeah.
You don't spell that like Graham Cracker. You spell that like Graham Instagram.
Why would it be spelled like graham crackers?
Every time I say it, I think about graham crackers.
Don't follow me on Instagram for any graham cracker content. There is none. I don't like those. But
how can you not like graham crackers?
They, the ones that you get in the grocery store have honey in them.
Well, you don't have to get those ones.
Well, it's hard to find the other kind.
Why are you not a honey person?
I don't eat honey. I'm vegan. Worst. Yeah. So,
but that doesn't mean you don't like them. That just means you don't eat them.
If I don't ethically agree with them, then it means I don't like them.
But see, when you say I don't like graham crackers, it implies that you don't like the taste of graham crackers, not that you disagree with them ethically.
No, I don't like them politically. Like, I don't like them as people.
Because you like, ethically, you disagree with, like, the majority of food. So, right. So it's like, you know, it's different contexts.
Yeah, well, I don't like those foods. I don't like the, what they stand for. That's what I mean. I don't like them as people.
Have you ever tried a graham cracker?
Yeah. I mean, they make ones that don't have honey in them. They're just really hard to find. So there isn't any graham cracker content on my Instagram.
Do you like graham crackers that don't have honey?
Yeah, they're fine.
All right. See, we've reached a consensus.
I mean, it's hard to find a context in which I would want to eat them because they're mostly in s'mores.
That is just false. That is.
What do you do with them?
S'mores. God. S'mores are terrible.
Yeah. Well, okay. I agree.
Chocolate. So,
exactly. So you and I agree that you and I, neither of us like chocolate. And that one, I mean, I actually don't like the taste. That's just not like I never liked chocolate. So I don't eat s'mores. I love marshmallows.
Yeah.
Also hard to find vegan, but worth it.
Marshmallows are all right. Ish.
Okay. But what do you do with graham crackers then? This is all getting cut out of the
You
podcast.
Eat them. Okay.
Just
look.
Eat them plain.
You take peanut butter and you put them yes. on the graham cracker and then you eat okay. them.
I agree.
Yes. Thank you.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Okay. I was going to plug, don't follow my Instagram for graham crackers. Follow it for me.
There's a whole storm of graham cracker content headed your way.
Don't tweet me graham cracker things. I don't want to.
Graham crackers unwrapped.
I'm going to be on the RHAP B&B this week with Liana and Mike talking about Survivor. So listen to that. And also check out my recaps of Survivor and RuPaul's Drag Race on My Entertainment World. I recently wrote a recap of the Drag Race finale that if you are also really fired up and angry about it, you should read because I am very unhappy. So
apparently a lot
out.
Of people are.
Yeah, it was complete BS. And that's what I mean by Ninja vs. Ninja being so light and fun, because even my go-to light and fun shows like RuPaul's Drag Race are no longer fun.
Oh, my.
It's okay. Season 10 will turn around. It'll be great. It'll be great.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.